Welcome to The Wild Within, a podcast exploring spirituality, consciousness, holistic psychology, and wellness, and expanding your mind, body, and soul to embody and activate your truest self. I'm your host, Kristen Yates, and I'm so excited to be with you on this journey of awakening in our outer and inner worlds. Connected to our true nature within, together we heal and thrive in these times. So now, let's dive into the show. So today's episode is a great one, particularly for the, shall we say, unexpected and somewhat tumultuous times we're in right now, where ease and self-care and nourishment can sometimes feel like the farthest thing away. I'm so excited to share with you Crystal's story and all of the wisdom, tools, insights, strategies that she has for you to bring more ease into your life and really to rewrite the narratives that many of us are running, that life has to be hard, that struggle equals success. And I really feel like there's so many nuggets in this episode that will inspire you and motivate you and encourage you to think in a new way. So our guest today, Crystal Brandt, is an ease mentor and intuitive business strategist who courageously quests for ease in a world built for the opposite. How yummy is that, first of all? She guides fast-paced go-getters to slow down and cultivate sustainable self-care practices to live a soul-aligned life. And Crystal and I met many years ago, I don't know, time is so wonky these days, but we met in Bali through a beautiful life coaching community that we've both been a part of. And as you'll hear in the episode, this was just around the time that Crystal was breaking free from the corporate shackles to follow the truth of her soul and create an entirely new life. So I'm so excited to share this journey with you, along with all of the practical tools that she has to share. And without further ado, let's get into it. So I'm here with Crystal Brandt, a dear soul sister. Our journey has gone back to like 2013, where we met in Bali. And up until today, our journeys have just intertwined so many different ways. And it's, wow, it's just been such an adventure. So I'm so excited to dive in with you.
Thank you, love. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so many juicy topics to get into, and particularly around navigating the energy of these times right now that we're in. Your work in ease and self-care just really stands out and has stood out so much to me. And, you know, just seeing your journey with that all unfold has been amazing. So I just kind of want to dive in and start with, why has this journey of self-care spoken so much to you? Why did you get into ease and self-care as your line of work as a coach and healer?
A good place to start now, isn't it? You know, it's so interesting. So I've been a coach formally for the past 6 years, but whenever somebody asks me, like, when did you get started? I'm like, I've been doing this my whole life. You know, like, I've always been the one that's people corner in the hallway of like, can I tell you my secrets? Like, I literally remember that in high school. For whatever reason, I'm like, why are people doing this? Like, why are they coming to me with their like deepest, darkest held secrets? So it's kind of an innate quality in me. But the reason self-care and ease actually became real for me, and it's so interesting watching it hit this trend point in the past like 2 years or so, like self-care, people actually have a pulse on what that means, whether or not they really get it or not, or whether or not they're just assuming what it is. But for me, self-care and ease actually really dropped in for me after watching the effects of my mom not knowing that she could give love to herself the same way that she gave love to us three girls and the rest of the family. And it was actually watching her go through a major health crisis where like we literally almost lost her, where I was sitting at her bedside holding her hand, knowing that the effects of what got her there, for her, it was a liver transplant from the effects of over drinking alcohol. And it was holding her hand in the hospital where I'm like, whoa, like one, I'm not doing this again, period. Two, I don't want my future kids at my bedside for things that I can help right now, right? It's that those lifestyle choices, those self-worth choices, taking care of your emotional body, your spiritual body, your physical body. And I didn't know any of that shit before. Okay, can we swear? Are we swearing here?
Right, we're not born learning that. We're not born knowing that stuff.
No. Well, and I think intrinsically we know on some level, and then we forget because of the conditioning is so fierce. Ease is not allowed. Naps are bad. Easy is lazy. You know, go, go, go. That's value. That's where you get all the trophies in life.
Yeah.
And then we get to the top of these mountains that we're told matter. right? I've been there. I had the nice job. I had the nice car. I had the sexy boyfriend. I had the car and the house in the trendy neighborhood and, like, you know, living the life and the happy hours and the money and all the things. And then I was terrified to be alone by myself. I would run myself 15, 16 hour days just so I didn't have to be alone with myself. Yeah. You know? So when this happened with my mom, I came out of it asking questions, as you do when you have a brush with death. Something's not working. Things that I'm spending my waking, beautiful, precious waking hours on are not lighting me up anymore, especially after going through that. It's like I was in a tech job. I'm like, who cares about warranty tires? Like, who cares about spreadsheets? You know, like, what does this matter for the bigger purpose of my life? And so I had an amazing team around me. It's like when the student is ready, the teachers appear. I had this like 5-person team very organically arrive. I had a therapist. I had a physical trainer. I had a holistic nutritionist. I had a spiritual guide and like one other one that I'm drawing a blank on right now. And with their help, I healed. And then I hired a life coach who, that's how we met, through Jacob. Jacob in New York. That's how we met. We were both in his community. And in hiring him, he was calling me for 3 straight weeks in a row from Bali. And I'm like, okay, this is the end of the third call in the third week. I'm like, okay, Jacob, I know this is supposed to be about me, but like, what is going on in Bali? Like, it keeps showing up everywhere. It's like buzz, you know, Bali, Bali, Bali. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, the people are amazing. The food is so fresh. Like, it's super affordable to live here. I'm, you know, I can live independent, location independent, which was my dream. I'm like, oh my God, if I could not have to be in a goddamn cubicle, it would be so amazing, you know, like be anywhere and do my work. And then one thing leads to another. I end up in Bali. Probably about 6 to 9 months later, by myself, flying around the world, literally by myself with a backpack. And what ended up happening there is it was the first time I was without any roles to play for anyone else. It was the first time in my life that I did not have an agenda for my everyday. It was the first time in my life that I didn't have to report to anyone else about what I was choosing for myself every day. And it was the first span of time that I actually could spend just in my own flow. I mean, if you think about it, you're in school for 20 years and then you're in a job for X amount of years. You get 1 week a year in the US. Insane. So it was the longest span of time. And what I ended up finding was myself, simply put. I realized that I loved my own company. I'm like, shit, my friends are lucky. No wonder they like me. No wonder they like hanging out with me. I'm pretty great. Like, I'm fun. I have a good time. Like, I'm great company.
Oh, I love it.
That's when it landed. I'm like, wow, I actually even love who I am. That was so radical at that time.
And it was really that ability to flow and just come into your own rhythm that helped you find that, right? Leaving this matrix of structure.
If you ever want to do another conversation on rhythms and cycles, I'm game.
Yeah.
Oh. Right? Because our society, it's the antithesis of rhythms and cycles. The only rhythms and cycles we follow are retail, commercial, and all these man-made cycles. We are completely out of touch with our natural rhythms and cycles.
Yeah.
And coming back into harmony with that changed my life.
Yeah. I think that's when we met was right in 2014 when you were at that beginning of that Bali journey. And it's so true. You just ended up staying there and you never went back to the corporate world after that, right?
It's crazy. I'm like, I cannot believe I did that. I cannot believe this is my story. I was supposed to be there for a month. I got a volunteer position at the Bali Spirit Festival, which is one of the top five like yoga festivals in the world. And that was like the Jacob connection. He like helped get me into that as just an impetus to get there and to book the ticket. So I did. I ended up hating that volunteer job. I actually quit and I had never quit anything in my life. I'm not kidding. Nothing ever. And it ended up just being the impetus to get me there. And so that first month actually ended up being a massive physical and emotional detox. I went from 19 degrees Fahrenheit in Cleveland, Ohio, the day that I left to 86 and like who knows how much humidity, because Bali. And my body was just from the inside out, like just purging the stress, purging just everything that needed to go. Mm-hmm. So it was actually kind of a lot of work that first mm-hmm. month there. I was navigating a lot. But then all of a sudden it became time to like have to go home. And my intuition, this is the first time that I actually really acknowledged my intuition in a real way. And it said, you cannot go back. You cannot go from this lush, natural, where like this culture, these people build around nature, not wipe out nature just to build a friggin' warehouse, you know, to go back into a converted warehouse with no windows and sit in a cubicle for 8 to 10 hours a day. My whole body was just like, no. And so as a recovering people pleaser and as a very active people pleaser at that time, I had to face the fear of letting down my boss, because my boss actually allowed, she helped create the scenario that I could go away for a month. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm going to let her down. Oh my God, I'm a terrible person, like all this stuff. And so we get on Skype, literal monkeys out the window at Hulu. Yeah. You know exactly what the Zoom. The Skype booths, yes.
Monkeys.
Literal monkeys out the window. And she was always an angel to me. She talk about like angel in human form. She was always looking out for me. But her response was so gracious. She's like, Crystal, I can't tell you I didn't see this coming. And I actually resigned from my job from Bali. I was in that job for 6 years. It was a big deal, but it was the best decision I made.
I love that. And that's such a pivotal point too, because it's like, I imagine so many people can resonate with that people pleasing. And especially when someone's gone out of their way to make sure you could have that time off. It's so against our programming to say, oh yeah, I'm actually going to listen to my soul and continue this path and not go back. It would just be, you know, our programming is like, oh, you had this massive privilege to take a vacation, an extended one, and then you got to go back and make up for it and do your, you know, pay your time off until you're 65 years old. It's like, no, you chose a different path that was so deeply in your body. Like you said, other people will see that and support that when you trust, but it takes that surrender.
Yeah. And I would be amiss also to not to mention that entire summer after I got back, I freaked out so hard. I cried every day. I'm like, what did you just do with your entire life? What did you just do? I had zero financial plan. I did have an apartment back in Cleveland, luckily, but it was a huge life reset. And what it turned out to be is the kickoff of my Saturn return. And it actually wasn't the kickoff. I was deep in it, but it felt like the kickoff.
Yeah.
Which for anyone that doesn't know, Saturn takes about 27 to 29 years to circle back to the point where it was when you were born. Uh-huh. And it's kind of these like soul checkpoints to invite you into soul alignment. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you know, it's filled with grace, but it's also the farther off path for your soul that you are, the more tumultuous that experience can be. Right. To shed all of the personas and the things that you thought were on path for your life, but really you were just adopting what your environment told you to be.
Mm-hmm. And that happens. That starts around late 20s and it goes for about 7 years, right?
It's different for everyone.
Okay.
Mine was pretty long. I've heard of other people's being rather short. And also I've heard of other people who are already really in their soul's work. They tended to be the younger generations, like at least 5 years younger than me, and I'm 35. Uh-huh. Because the younger generations are spending less time away from their soul's truth. And I think that's because of the help of the people ahead. Like we're all doing our work so that the younger generations don't have to do so much work to come back to themselves, right? But to create environments where they get to stay in touch with who they are, really. Mm-hmm. So it really, really, really depends.
Yeah.
It really depends on the unique journey.
Yeah. But I love that perspective where it's uprooting stuff, but it's pushing you more into alignment. So rather than fight it, it's like, okay, just allow to see where it's going to go and have that perspective that maybe the way you've been living your life hasn't been quite right for you during that time. Like I remember, there was huge upheaval for me in my late 20s, early 30s. So much. But I think I had it wrong because I thought the Saturn return happens every 7 years, no matter what. I didn't realize it's really at 27. And then that means again, it must come around 50, right? 50 is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get about three in our life if we're blessed to be here that long.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense. I thought it was every seven, but no. So the first one really is 20s, 30s, and then like the second third of your life. Yeah.
I believe it's that Saturn takes 7 years to traverse a sign or something like that. I don't know offhand. I don't dare call myself an astrologer, but I do. I just love it.
It's such a complex science.
Speaks to me. I love it.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, I just think it's really important and amazing that you share the transparency that, yeah, the transition was not this smooth thing. I think a lot of times we hear people, the whole story of, oh, quit the corporate life, start to work for yourself, follow your soul. And it's just this seamless thing. But people are like, okay, but how does that work? And how do you navigate the ups and downs? And it's like you shared, it wasn't just this seamless transition. There's a lot of soul searching and a lot of freaking out. And that's all okay. And that's all part of it, right? So yeah. So bringing in the ease and the self-care, tell me more about how you got on the path with that and really identified that as the work that you want to do with people.
Well, self-care, I had to take care of myself before I could take care of anybody else. And that is a very backwards concept for somebody that's trained in overgiving to everyone else. And it literally not being allowed to take care of yourself, not being allowed to say no, not being allowed to cancel plans, right? Years ago, I ended up, I was actually in California already, and I ended up deciding not to act out of obligation anymore. I divorced obligation because it's total bullshit if you think about it. Yeah. Like, if it's not true inspired from your soul, then what else are you doing? And most likely it is not from something authentic inside of you.
I love that obligation. Like, wow. Put that in marquee lights, you know, freaking love that. I'm just going to say.
Yeah. And it was life changing, but I ended up having said yes to go to a friend's wedding back in Ohio. And 3 days before the wedding, my intuition said, do not get on that plane. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm in it now. What do I do? Yeah. I'm like, one, I don't get on a plane when my intuition says no, because that would just be so silly and ridiculous and unnecessary need for crazy lessons to be learned when like I could just listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I ended up losing that entire friend group because I canceled and didn't go. And that was a very pivotal moment where I realized that I did not allow myself room because I didn't know that I could. I didn't allow myself room in my relationships to be counterculture of the group, to say no, to change my mind, to disagree. I mean, that's like for real ingrained girl code growing up, at least in the US. I don't know what it's like in other countries, but whoa, there was no room. I didn't have any skill sets around that. And so maybe it had to be that messy for me and that much of a loss for me to listen. Yeah. And that was one of my early, other than just the mechanics of like realizing I had gluten allergy and realizing that I had a herniated disc in my back from the stress of carrying the weight of my family. And like, aside from like healing my body and healing my diet and having like spiritual tools starting to wake up, that was like a social construct that broke as a result of me taking care of myself. And in one lens, you could look at that and say, well, I'm punished. I'm being punished for taking care of myself. Like nobody's ever going to understand me there or support me there. Or you could say, actually, I deserve better and I didn't know that until now. So let's bring on the people that will totally get that and support me in that. And that's all I have in my life now.
Yeah. It's like those constructs, they have to fall away and you have to be in that. It's like jumping over the cliff or whatever to the other side, but in the space between, it might feel like there's nobody because we have to shed the skin of who we were and all the people that validated who we used to be. And it's like in that moment you were saying, I'm letting go of the validation of who I used to be. And maybe it was subconscious. You weren't consciously like, oh, I'm not going to get on this plane because I want to validate a new version of myself. But that's what your intuition was guiding you into.
Yeah, I had no idea what was happening at the time. I was just like really freaked out and also kind of impressed with myself too.
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay. I didn't know that I could do that. Whoa. Now like this whole huge, even a nervous system realignment had to happen. Yeah. Right? Of like, I am safe here. I am safe outside of the boundaries of my friend group. Okay, who am I out here? And can I take care of myself here? can I show up for myself here? I just did. Maybe I can do it again. And it's in the micro moments. You know, the reason I define self-care in this, in a question form, and it's to ask yourself, am I counting myself in on the equation of my life?
Love that question.
Am I even counting myself in on the equation of my life, the life that I live every day when I'm blessed with another day and air in my lungs to wake up? Am I counting myself in? Am I actually centering myself? Am I on my own calendar, for God's sakes? You know what I mean? Wow. That's so radical of an idea when we're facing the conditioning that a lot of us came up in. If I'm answering that question authentically, then it moves to, when I think self-care, you can open Cosmo magazine and like read the articles and like get an idea for, you know, bubble baths and candles and shit. Okay, cool. But also, is it nourishing you? And the way that I have found the most efficient route to finding out what nourishes you is to examine what your personal core values are. When you know what your core values are, and a simple way to do that, this is something that Jacob did with me.
Yep.
Like, one of day one or something of like, think of the happiest day of your life. Mm-hmm. And in 2 minutes, define what that is, write it down. And then you go back and scan through for some of the core themes. Was it the people there? Was it what you were doing? Was it going, right? Was it traveling? Yeah. There's all kinds of things that will pop up. If you only have 2 minutes to write, you will get to the core of what's the most important and it will be embedded in there. And so my personal core values are authentic connection, just like this. I make so much room and time in my world for real conversations like this. Heart to heart, soul to soul. Let's talk about the real stuff.
Yeah.
Holistic health, health on all levels, angles in my life. We're talking money, we're talking sex, we're talking food, we're talking friendships, we're talking business, everything. Learning and growth, adventure is always tossed in there. Beauty, ease, and pleasure.
I love it. Those are all so you.
Those are so me, right?
Yes.
And how it gets really juicy and really pleasurable and really fun and actually very sustainable is when you go through each of those core values and you pick a self-care action that feeds one or more of those core values. All of a sudden, you have this inherent built-in feedback loop into what nourishes you. And what nourishes you is exciting to say yes to again because it feels so darn good.
Yes.
You do that again and you do that again. And all of a sudden, your self-care pops out of your to-do list and into a non-negotiable priority because you feel so good doing it. Why would you not?
Yeah. And you're able to give more and you have more energy and you can show up for all the other things that you have to do. But it's like, you come first, your oxygen mask, your, it just becomes a part of your life at that point, right? Your practice has just become a non-negotiable, like brushing your teeth or doing your meditation or, I mean.
And then it becomes a lifestyle. It's just so, it's just become, it's like your life starts to reflect you back to yourself.
Exactly.
Instead of having to endure it.
Yes. Oh my God. The whole practice of core values is so essential. And you've just inspired me because I want to do an entire episode on core values. It's like also one of the number one practices I do with new clients. And I'm curious to hear from you because what I discovered for my practice with core values is they actually shift. So I check back in every year or so to see if, you know, the main concept, the word that I use to describe them has shifted at all. And sometimes I've noticed it's shifted. Have you noticed that for yourself or do they tend to stay pretty consistent?
The initial core ones of authentic connection, holistic health, learning and growth, adventure, those all stayed the same. The way I go about them has shifted, but then I ended up adding more. Mm-hmm. Once I realized that they were that important to me, like pleasure, like ease, like beauty. Mm-hmm. And even when you look at those terms, it's like the first five are quite masculine. They're kind of like accomplished driven, plan driven, where the latter ones, and this is so reflective of my own journey, right? Of like bridging out of that hyper masculine mode of being that got me really sick. Doesn't mean I wasn't amazing at what I did there. It just meant that I spent too much time there without the rest and recuperation and that more feminine intuition. I was in hyper masculine and then I went real hyper feminine like in 3 to 5 years. Bali, Southern California. I was doing like 3 to 4 hour friggin' morning sessions with angel cards and beach time, like real feminine dancing, massages, yoga. Like it was delicious. Do not get me wrong. But what ended up happening then is the integration. So I got to cherry pick from both ends of the spectrum and everywhere in between this integrated way of being where both sides of myself have plenty of room to play. But I will say most of it's driven from that intuitive soul place first, and then the masculine getcha done follows right behind it.
The container comes in. I love the topic of polarity so much and bringing in those two parts of ourselves. I mean, there's more than just two, but just those two energies of the structure and container of the masculine. And then that creates space for the liquid, the creative, the, you know, the etherical feminine to just dance and play and have all of her ways. But the masculine helps bring her into the world, right? And so we need to, I mean, it's like probably a whole topic for a whole other podcast, but I just love that you bring that in because that's a big part of the work. You know, when we talk about doing the work on ourselves, it sounds like for you, part of that was really transitioning from that hyper masculine lifestyle where you were more in that like go, 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 driven success, get all the things, check all the boxes, and then going back to the uber feminine, uber like all the space, but then realizing ultimately you do need some of that structure as well to then bring your work into the world and create a business where you're able to do the work that lights you up, that helps people with this very, with these very things, but like in a way that's actually bringing it to people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because business takes structure.
Totally. And I got to see that I do both amazingly well. Amazing. Mm. And then I get to put my whole flair and flavor on my business, on my leadership. I just get to be me. And what drove all of this was this quiet sentence I said in my head when I was sitting in my cubicle in about 2012, 2013. This is before any of this awakening really took hold. Like, I just want to get paid to have amazing conversations.
Yeah, right?
I just want to get paid to have amazing conversations. And that translated to, I just want to get paid to be me in the world. I just want to be myself. And that's my comfort place. And that is honestly, genuinely, or truly what is working now for me.
Yes. I love that. And that's giving so much permission to anyone listening that you get to say that as well. You get to say to the universe, you get to declare, I want to get paid to be myself. I want to get paid to be as authentically fucking expressed as I could possibly be, to share all the parts of me, to be seen, to be heard, to be acknowledged, and to share my message and to serve. I deserve to be paid to be me.
It works. It really does.
It works. And also just this aspect of ease. Like, I want to dive more into this because this is so counterculture to our Western society.
Yes.
This idea that ease can be not only accepted, but actually be the way. For me, it's something I've struggled a lot with. And I would say I don't have much relationship with ease currently. I still very much live in my own paradigm of go, go, must do, must produce. And I personally feel still a lot of guilt around being more in my ease and my self-care. It's something that challenges me. So yeah, tell us more about ease and how ease can be a pathway to our truth and our purpose.
My gosh, it's like the only way that I found that I can tap into like genuine truth for myself. So at the very core philosophy of what I believe and what I've known and come to truly know as to be true is ease is our nature, actually. And the perfect example is just looking out my window right now. So we've got some bushes, we've got some trees, we've got some clouds, we've got rain. It's like the bush and the tree are not struggling to be themselves. The tree isn't like, yo, pipe it down over there to the flowers. You know, it's like, you're too beautiful. Get out of my space. Like, no, it's actually nature becomes more of itself when everything is in that right order and divine harmony with itself, with its own nature. Nothing in nature struggles to be itself except when humans, you know, don't respect it. That's another conversation for another day, of course. Yeah. But nature in its own, authentic intelligence has ease written all over it. What I've come to remind myself and remember is that I'm not separate from nature. My body is nature. We are nature. But especially in Western culture, there's this very stark delineation. Animals are less than. Trees can get cut down, no problem, without even thinking about it. This is what we grew up in. So when I say ease is our nature, if ever I need a reminder of how to find ease again, I look to nature immediately. Mm-hmm. It's always available, which I'm very blessed to say that, right? Like yeah. we all are, that we can just look outside. So ease is our nature. And when we're in this like modern day society, it is very counterculture to quest for ease in a world built for the opposite. Yeah. And that, frankly, my inner rebel is very satisfied every time I remember that ease is an option. And for every ounce of pain, struggle, and hardship that exists in a single moment, the equal and opposite also exists. The opposite end of the spectrum of pain and hardship and challenge is ease, mm-hmm. is flow, is love. Yeah. But we need to just train ourselves to actually look for it.
Would you say it's related with presence? Because you know, when I think about struggle and obstacles and pain, a lot of that, for me at least, is contained in the past or the future and thinking about, you know, where I need to be, all the shoulds, all the conditioning, all of that, all the worry. And if you're actually just present with nature, with yourself, what is there to be stressed about?
Yeah, I think presence is a tool to help you find the ease that is present. You know, gratitude is a beautiful tool to bring you back. Yeah. Of like, God, how amazing is it that you and I can be clear across the country right now. And through this invisible interwebs, the vibration of my voice, which I'm so grateful for my voice, right? The ease of how I can speak and talk so easy, right? I can sit upright in my chair. I'm sitting in beautiful air conditioning while it's humid AF outside. I'm happy. This is easy for me. You know what I mean? That's an example of like a practical application. If I just presence myself to where the ease is right now, I have so much ease drenching my life. Yeah. Like, but it would be very easy also to run a completely opposite narrative of like, oh, so humid. Oh God, I feel like, I feel a little, down from like stuff happening and like, I feel a little tired from lunch and like,
it's all the mindset. Like this is literally shifting the mindset.
Mindset rebel, baby.
Exactly. This is why we need you here, because it's to just relentlessly see the ease, see the gratitude. And when you're talking about that, it reminds me also of abundance, because we also live in a society that's so programmed around scarcity. We are programmed to feel not enough. We don't have enough. We're not going to have enough. We need to accumulate so we will have enough. We're triggered when others seem to have more than us, right? That's what we're programmed into. This ease mindset feels like abundance to me. You're just seeing how abundant you already are, and you become a magnet for more of that.
And it feels sexy.
In such a good
and
way.
Fun and alive and vibrant, and I feel magnetic and I draw more to me.
Yes.
Everything gets easier and easier and easier when I'm actually listening to the ease-filled current of my life. It is always there. Do I always find it and nail it every day? Nope, I do not, because guess what? The teacher teaches what they must learn. Yeah. I've got some major, major hardwiring for things to be hard. Mm-hmm. I grew up in an alcoholic, narcissistic family structure. Everything about that structure, down to the roots of it, is hard. It's self-neglect. Mm-hmm. It's avoidance. Mm-hmm. It's letting things build up around you so that you have to struggle against your own life. You know, and this is my personal experience, but my wiring as a child tells me that things are hard, that money is hard, that seeking career opportunities is hard, that jobs are scarce. Like, this is the rhetoric that I have on repeat in my head, whether I like it or not. This is why, you know, the mindset, this was such a yes to come and have this conversation in this container, Kristen, because, and I'm so grateful that you are holding this space to change our mind about this stuff. But I will say, like, shifting your mindset and reaching for ease when everything around you looks like ease is the last thing that's going to come about, that takes some courage. Hence my brand, Courage of Ease. Because it takes courage to courageously quest for ease in a world built for the opposite. It is entirely against the grain. And yet by going against the grain, you hop into the easy river and you're actually flowing with the current for the first time. Imagine that.
Imagine. And then it's like your life becomes your message when other people see how you're living, and that can trigger people as well. You know, I think
when
you talk about stepping into ease and leaving behind that old paradigm, people will judge, people will try to take you down or have their opinions about what, you know, this new way of living, because it triggers the old. That's what it takes. Like when we're stepping into the new earth, we're stepping into this new life, it's shattering the old, and that will piss people off. So it takes that strength to be in your truth.
It does. And there's nothing more confronting than to see somebody after you have struggled and worked so hard, because that's the American badge of honor. There's nothing more confronting than to see someone seemingly walking on a cloud because they're so at peace with themselves, right? Doesn't mean I don't show up. Doesn't mean I can't hang in the like getting stuff done. Of course I can. I'm actually a boss there. But I'm a boss strategically. I called it the align hustle, right? I don't hustle for the sake of hustling. My ego, like, yeah, it'll want it time to time, but I'm not going to let it have it because my body will not sustain itself there. I already know how that goes. So when I'm in alignment, then I let the hustle only in those spurts that, right, make sense to move the needle along. But yeah, I call it when I walk into a room filled, especially with women that I don't know, there's two reactions. One, I get the side eye of like, who does she think she is? Right? Because I have very big energy. I know this. We all know this. Okay. Walk into a room. You're going to feel it. Great. The other reaction is I call it the unicorn effect, where like women are kind of like googly eyed, like leaning in. They're like, what is she doing? And I want that, but I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll go talk to her.
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of this like sparkly effect of like, again, and that's what authenticity also helps with in the polarity. It like pushes the people that aren't for you away, and it draws in effortlessly the people that are for you.
I love that about you. I can totally see that. And I think that's one thing I just admire so much about your energy is you're so strong in standing for who you are, and you follow your truth, and people feel that. Like you're right. There is this energy that just reverberates when you show up because you're done with people pleasing. You're done with that. Like that's just not a thing you do. And I think once you shed that, it's palpable. People can feel that.
I hope I am.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's constant work,
right,
of letting go of the people pleasing, because it definitely shows up, but I also know the cost of choosing that path, and I'm not willing to pay that price anymore.
One thing I was curious to just hear a little bit more about was this whole idea of the aligned hustle. I love that. And how can someone find what their aligned hustle is? Like what are the ways that you do know this is where I want to put my energy and this is where I'm not going to put my energy?
My natural answer to that is intuition. It's like, okay, where is my alignment? Well, where is your alignment? Where is your alignment? Like when you get quiet with yourself, when you tune in, if you just draw your energy in towards your heart right now, and you take a breath and you feel your feet on the ground. If you ask yourself a simple question of this, is this right for me? Is this not right for me? A simple yes or no question. You will feel what's true for you. And if it's a yes, you'll sometimes watch your body like lean towards an answer. Your body speaks. If it's not the thing, you fall back in your chair. You're like, ugh, God, I don't want to do that. Well, there's your answer.
Right. You know what I mean? You could just feel and that the excitement or the contraction, right? The expansion, you go forward in the back. It's kind of like using the applied kinesiology, the sway test, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I didn't know to call it that, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you intuitively pick, you know, that's intuitively what you use. It's actually a tool that like your muscles, there's something in your body that draws forward when something is healthy or right for you, and it contracts backwards.
Contracts. When it's not. That's feedback, you know, and also like follow your fun, follow your joy, follow your pleasure. You know, I do astrology and human design readings now, and that only started like a couple of months ago. That was an intuitive guidance in my business. I had never thought that I could get paid to jam and nerd out about astrology, not once. And I genuinely mean that. I never thought about it. But did I just for fun and pleasure geek out, like drill down into these rabbit holes? Oh my God. Until like 2 a.m. So many nights of my life. Yes. It's just innate. I loved it. It's pleasurable. It makes sense to my brain. I feel validated for what I already am feeling. And then I get to see it outside and say, there it is right there in the chart. I knew it, you know? So that's an example of like following. I it was my intuition that opened up that as a possibility to get paid for that. Mm-hmm. But before then, it was pleasure. It was fun. It was joy. It was connective on that authentic level. What is more authentic than looking at a map of your friggin' soul? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, yes.
Oh my God.
So that's a perfect real life practical example of allowing the ease of how easy it feels to do that one thing, and then to just expand your mind to even consider that you could actually do that with more people. You could help other people that way.
That's such a paradigm shifter to say, oh, this is the thing that naturally lights me up, that I want to explore more. I want to learn more about this and I want to share it with people. And you get to do that for your work. Like, that gets to be how you spend your time, and you get to get paid for that, right? And I think owning your worth and understanding that, you know, just the energy that you share with people and how opening up their minds and their souls to these new perspectives, like, that is value add, you know, and deserving to get paid for that. I think a lot of us in the coaching business struggle with this idea of worthiness around getting paid for what we love to do, because it feels like, oh, well, this is a natural gift for me, that this is just what feels really good. This isn't work. And I just see a lot in you that this alignment with ease and following your intuition has opened up into receiving, you know, and really making this into a business. I think that, it seems like it's flowed really well for you, and you've been able to work through more of those blocks that keep some other coaches stuck, I think, with the whole monetizing and business aspect of it.
Yeah. I think there's no way to mess it up if you're listening to what matters most to you. Bottom line, because I think at the end of the day, that's why we're here. That's why our soul chose this body with this skill set, with this lens on the world, so that we can actually feel the love of everything and everyone around us, like the universe saying, yes, girl, yes, this is just for you. I'm so glad you listened. Here you go. Yeah. Here's your gift. You know, here's your thank you. And it could come with more aligned relationships. It could come with more money. It could come with more aligned home spaces. Abundance takes a lot of forms, and it all can happen and come to you quite easily if you let it, but only if you let it. And that's why it's a practice to keep choosing ease.
And opening. And when you say letting it in, it's like there's this surrender aspect. There's this opening like the flower, rather than always having to drive forward for it. Just trusting that you're worthy. That's the internal, the innate worthiness in itself. It's like, if I step back to open and receive, it will come because I'm worthy. That's just enough.
Yeah. Like Amanda Francis says, I'm worthy because I am.
Oh man. Yeah. She's best.
Talk about a polarizing, amazing freaking boss.
She is. I've just recently listened to a podcast with her, and she's so unashamedly just like, she's so in her worthiness. It's confronting. Yes. It can be triggering. You're like, damn, if I was as bold and brash as you, I would probably be that successful. And then it shines the light on your own shadow. For me, it shines the light on my own shadow. I'm like, I could never say that with a straight face, but she's just like, I would be basically offended if I made anything less than 100K. I don't know. She's just like, I'm not available to earn anything less anymore. It's like, wow.
She sells her confidence.
Yes.
She sells her assuredness. That is why being in her container makes such a huge quantum leap for people, because if she believes it, then the permission is built in for you to believe it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same here. You know, if I'm out here, this woman that you didn't know before today, potentially, right? And it's talking about ease. It's like, well, I remember that conversation with Crystal who talked about ease, and like, she lives her whole life that way. How the hell does she do that? But also like, wow, I'm like curious. Mm-hmm. I want more of that. Yeah. And that's the thing about living in our authenticity, because we're a walking permission slip for what's possible.
Yes. You can be an expander. I don't know if you've heard of Lacey Phillips or her whole concept of expanders. Yeah. Just basically someone that shows you what's possible. And I love that as a reframe of comparison, because again, rather than choosing to see, oh, this person is living the way I want to and I'm so far behind, you can see it as, oh, this is literally possible. If this person can do it, I choose to surround myself with people that model for me the reality that I want and help me grow and expand into that. That's who I want to bring onto the podcast, are people who are expanders, who can show new possibilities and shine new light, because we're creating our reality with our consciousness. And if we don't have something in our reality yet, it's simply because we haven't shined the light on that. We haven't seen that it's possible. It's not literally a part of our conscious experience yet. And if you can make this a part of someone's conscious experience, then they can call it into their lives. And then it's just a matter of the tangible logistics about like making that happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And learning the skills. Mm-hmm. I only have expanders in my life. my chosen family are expanders. And if there comes a time where there are people and there's moments, right, that come in that are not of that quality and caliber of like consciousness and like, you know, just living an aligned life, mm-hmm. it's very obvious and they don't last long. And I don't mean to be like elitist about that. It just, that's an act of self-love and self-care for myself to mm-hmm. surround myself with people that show me what else is possible.
Boom. Let that be a wisdom bomb for anyone listening. Oh, girl. Well, for now, you know, are there any other tools or advice that you have for people that just are seeking a bit more care and ease, particularly right now, dealing with turbulent times and uncertainty? You know, I know it's a huge topic, but just does anything come to mind and to heart to help people to navigate turbulence right now?
Absolutely. That's so real. I mean, we are in such a revolutionary, oh boy, the visions that come through sometimes. We are in a revolutionary birthing canal, we'll call it.
Love that.
Right. And it's tight in here and it's uncomfortable. And there is the light at the end of the tunnel, but oh my God, we're all going through so much. And it is okay to find humor in the little nuggets that you can. But I actually put together on my website at the beginning of COVID, really landing in the US, a resources page, because I was watching people really spin, like not have any idea when everything that we took for granted is now up in the air. Our root chakra, our sense of safety as human beings, goes berserk, trying to find places to be, right, to ground in. So crystalbrandt.com/resources is a beautiful page. The biggest thing that I keep coming back to is grounding. Grounding your body, grounding your spirit, grounding your inner child, okay? Because when things are spinny, if you don't have a sense of tethering to the earth, mm-hmm. to be in your body for what's going on, you're not going to be able to hear the intuition for the next step guidance. It's like ordering from Amazon, but never being home to get the damn package. And it's just sitting at your front door, but you're like, Amazon never, just, you know, but it's like, you're not even in your home to find out whether Amazon delivered. Okay. So stop asking for the package to come if you're not even home to open the door and come home. And as hard as that can be with so much turbulence and so much pain, you know, I think the biggest message of coronavirus and COVID is pause, reset, slow down. But there's a reason why so many of us have been running so fast. It's because it's painful to be with all that's there when you slow down. So I just want to acknowledge what big work that is for people. But I will also tell you, I have now, it's like, what, 4 or 5 months after the whole lockdown happened, I'm now circling back with different people kind of organically and intuitively, and I'm hearing them on the phone. I'm like, whoa, you are different. I'm like, you've let go of a lot. And just this person the other day, he's like, oh, wow. Yeah, I did. I let go of a lot. Because it's in that slowness that we can actually unpack what's there. But in order to unpack what's there, and in order to find out the gems and the wisdom of this time, you have got to be grounded in your body. So there is a beautiful grounding and energy clearing guide on that resources page, crystalbrandt.com/resources. You can download for free, no email, nothing. I just want it free to everybody that needs it and wants it, can use it. There's multiple grounding methods and energy clearing methods in there. Even if you're like, energy clearing, what the hell is that? You will find something in there that makes a lot of sense and you will feel so much better once you're in your body.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that tool, that list of tools, and we'll put it in the notes so people can go straight there and download it. Yes, I love that. I love the Amazon analogy, just being home. We have to be here. And like you said, I think these are such potent times because it's uncomfortable, but it's bringing people back to themselves. It's, you know, we've been in the pause, we've been in, and of course there's like ins and outs. We've been in it for months now, but we're definitely still in the place of going within and releasing. And I think many, if not most people, have experienced some transitions and releasing and letting go of so much of the old life. And it's creating space for the new, but that's uncomfortable in the kind of emptiness in the middle, right? And that just like, oh, that discomfort of, oh, I have to release my grip on normal and I don't know what's going to come in.
Right. You know? And Kristen, I mean, I've watched you navigate that so intensely of having to even come back to the US and live here and figure out life here.
Yeah,
and
like, this was not my plan.
Nomadically during a pandemic, like no big deal. What the hell? You know,
I don't live in the US. It's weird. Right. Like, and I don't have any plans. It's hard to make plans to leave. You know, theoretically I'm leaving around October, but it's like, well, where? I don't know. I don't even want to think about it yet. So there is so much uncertainty. This constant staying open, you're right, practicing grounding. Just there's a lot of trust. I think we're all being called right now to trust a lot and to just sit with the discomfort, and rather than just run out and try to distract and cover it up and like do more and do more and do more, doing what's aligned. It's not going to be fruitful at all to just keep doing all the shit, because that's what I always did. I was just like, I'm going to get more jobs. I'm going to do all the random things. I'm going to be everything for everybody. I don't want to be everything for everybody anymore. I want to be what I need to be for me. And through that, I'll be what I need to be for my people who need my authentic gifts.
Yes.
Thank you so much for this beautiful conversation, Crystal. I feel so lit up and ignited right now. I'm like, oh, well, we're definitely going to have more of these. So that's for sure. I'm going to link all your beautiful work in the notes, like I said, so people can access and really, really like go check out Crystal's stuff. Go check out her work. Do a session with her. I know you're offering these astrology human design sessions. Yeah, it's just been a gift to have you share your energy and your insights and your wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you've enjoyed this conversation with Crystal just as much as I did. I know I left that conversation feeling so inspired to infuse my life with so much more ease and nourishment, which can be hard for those of us that are such go, go, go people. I don't know if you feel me out there, but yeah, the whole topic of ease and self-care is such a vital one to our overall well-being, especially right now when the world is so intense, but it can be hard to put it on the back burner and try to overcompensate by doing. So in any case, I hope that you go check out Crystal's resources, and please let me know how you enjoyed this episode. You can always contact me through my website, kristinyates.com, or leave a rating for the podcast and let us know how this podcast and the topics are impacting you, and if you were able to put some of these tools into action. All right, sending you a big hug, lots of love, lots of inner strength, and lots and lots of ease. All right, talk to you soon.